Ramsey TV.
It's a politically volatile situation out there, my friends, my fellow members of the body of Christ. And since it does apply to the events at the end, the final months, perhaps, of Millennium 6, then I will comment on it, but I will do it briefly this morning because I want to touch on a topic that I call, what do I call that? The Israel Overlap Principle. This is your friend and mine, Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. You're at the right place. And I thought I was going to go to the Great White Throne again, but I think I've covered everything I need to cover. Watch the last few shows. If you have any questions about the Great White Throne, who's there, what's going to happen to him, who's going to judge whom, and you will be illuminated, elucidated, and possibly inundated with information. Now, I'm going to make a few political statements here, and some of you are nervous. You don't want me to. This isn't a political show, but as these events on Earth touch upon the book of Revelation and the final years or the final months of Millennium 6, I will comment. After all, I'm the guy who did an 800-show series on the book of Revelation. So the reason I did that was because I believe we're living in these times. Why wouldn't we talk about it? It's exciting, kind of. I mean, it's important, my God. Because the closer Israel is, this is going to touch upon the Israel overlap principle. The closer Israel is to her destiny, to the new covenant, to God pouring out his spirit on her, the return of Christ to the Mount of Olives, well, the closer we are to the snatching away, because God will not pick up with Israel again until we are off the earth. Earth belongs to Israel. Some people want to remain on earth. They're in the body of Christ, but they want to be on the earth. Well, okay, if you're on the earth, you got problems. You got problems because earth belongs to Israel. Jesus told that nation, the meek shall inherit the earth. And if you're on earth, and if you're not an Israelite, you are going to be a second-class citizen, always. That's the way it is on earth. That's the way it is on earth. But in heaven, that's another story. Why wouldn't you want to go there? Why would you want to take verses that say that's where we're going, our realm is inherent among the celestials, and cast it aside and try to prove that the snatching away doesn't lead to members of the body of Christ, the dead raised first, the living snatched away where they stand, lead to a celestial destiny? It doesn't state that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. Just says we meet the Lord in the air. What happens next? Read Ephesians 2:6. That's what happens next, among other passages. Now, when I'm done making the political comments, you might want to turn your volume down, okay? Because I'm going to count down. I'm going to make my political comments and then turn your volume down. If you don't want to hear them, you could still watch me. And when you see this sign, when you see me waving my patriotic beach flag like this, when you see that, that means it's safe to turn on your volume. I'm done talking about politics. There it is. I would wave an American flag. I don't have one on me, but I do have this nifty beach flag. It's got a palm tree on it. Look at that. You can see that palm tree. And it's got the stars and stripes. I just might as well start the political statement. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Some people are too cool for school as far as living in America or living in the country you live in. It's fine to have national pride. Do you live in Poland? Then be proud of it. Do you live in Canada? Be proud of Canada. Do you live in South Africa? Wait a minute. Go ahead and be proud of South Africa. Do you live in the Philippines? Be proud of the Philippines. It doesn't mean that your realm is not inherent among the celestials. Only Paul uses that word among. Many writers use the word celestial as an adjective. Celestial kingdom, celestial calling. But only Paul says among the celestials. Very important word, ignored by many. Among the celestials. I wonder what that means. It means what it says. So, of course, our realm is inherent among the celestials. But some people, they're just too cool for school. And it's like they're above having any kind of national pride. They're above politics. Oh, they're above it, you see. They rise above it. But some of these people who rise above it, they don't mind using their family crest as, say, for instance, their family crest as a logo for their business, you see. So they're proud of their family. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're proud of your family history? You're a celestial being. How dare you be proud of your family history? I'm proud of my little neighborhood here. It's called Croissant Park. I'm proud of it. I like it. I like my neighbors. Except the morons who have their political signs up promoting the candidacy of the exhumed body. But look, you can be happy where you live. I'm proud of my state. I love the peninsula. Love the peninsula. I'm happy about it. I embrace it. I love it. Ooh, I love the peninsula. I would pet the peninsula if I could. Wait a minute, I can. I'll go outside after the show and pet the peninsula. But it doesn't mean I don't yearn for, long for, desire greatly my celestial calling. But I'm not too cool for school. I'm not too cool to be a neighborhood guy. I'm not too cool to love my family. I'm not too cool to be an American and be happy about it. I'm not too cool. So I recommend other people not be too cool. I got a couple things to read to you. These will constitute my political statement. Concerning things that I've said about DJT, Donald J. Trump, is that he will reign victorious. Can you imagine? Just imagine this. I mean, things are really kind of lining up. Just imagine this. They tried to get rid of Trump with three different coups. A coup d'etat, that is a takeover of the government. They tried it with the Russian thing, right? Trump is working with Russia. Total fabrication, total lies, proven to be unsubstantiated, actually proven to be an abject lie. Trump beat it. Of course, because he didn't do it. It's not too hard to beat it when you didn't do it. Then they tried to impeach the guy. Based on a phone call, a legitimate phone call. He was not convicted of anything because he didn't do anything wrong. Trump beat that. Trump's starting to look like a world beater, isn't he? Well, first he beats ISIS, then he beats the unemployment rate in the U.S. He beats China, then he beats the attempted coup. Attempted coup number one, attempted coup number two. Oh, the coup number two. I tell you what, coup number two was a doozy-do, and he beat it. Now we have coup number three, which is the epic, the mother of all coup attempts, coup d'etat. It is stealing an election. Ooh, stealing an election. That's really third world banana republic, high crimes and misdemeanor type of thing. Oh, that is really, really bad. So imagine Trump beating that. Gonna look like a world beater, isn't he? He beats everything. The guy wins. What does that make you think of? Makes me think of the White Horse Rider. Then imagine this. Trump gets in again for more years. And, of course, the left has one more thing left. One more freaking thing left. They're at their edge. They're almost freaking out. They're done. They have one more thing left. And it's taking the life of the man they hate. Taking the life. There's a word for it. I don't want to say it on this platform just because, you know, it starts with an... The first three letters are ASS. Yeah. Think about it. Those who would want to do it, that describes them as well. Imagine then, now we come into a prophetic situation where the White Horse Rider or the man of lawlessness, who is not yet the man of lawlessness, but he suffers a wound that appears to be fatal and then comes back from it. At that point, I'm not saying that DJT is the man of lawlessness. I never have said he is. I said he's very likely candidate, in my opinion. Very likely candidate for the reasons I've already explained. So imagine he comes back from that. It's like, at that point, the whole world will just like, this guy is like survived three coup attempts and the ASS. Unbelievable. The guy seems superhuman. And in fact, that last act will be superhuman. As I've said, it won't be DJT anymore. Should such a thing happen to this particular individual, it won't be him anymore. He'll be occupied. The body will be the same. But it won't be the man. The man will be DEAD. And then a very, very malevolent spiritual force comes into, animates, and everything's turned. The peace deal with Israel turned around. Lovey-dovey turned around. Great things happening turned around. Boom. The reason I think that as that the new world order isn't going to take over, the reason I think the exhumed body isn't going to take over is because it's obviously evil, it's dark, it's sinister, and most of Christianity sees through it. I'm telling you, if most of Christianity sees through it, it is not the final deception. The final deception must be so slick that even the elect would be deceived if possible, and Christians would certainly be deceived. And they all love DJT. I love DJT, okay? So, yeah, this. And again, these peace treaties have to continue. They have to be solidified. Now, I'm going to read you something else. I'm going to read you something here. This is very interesting. It was online. I'm not going to quote the source. If there are any celebrating liberals who might see this, please take heed. Your candidate is not who you think he is. You are celebrating the occupation of America by foreign hostile forces who are laughing at you. They are laughing because you let them trick you into electing the very fascism you fear the most. Thank God, however, this will not happen. Even though you feel a great deception, I'm sorry, even though you fell for a great deception, your mistake has been mitigated by true defenders of freedom. I'm going to continue, and it is being mitigated as we speak. To continue, sadly, since you have not been able to see it for yourself, this reality will be thrust upon you in the coming weeks. Your candidate did not win. That's a freaking fact. Whether or not the exhumed body gets away with it, we'll see, but the exhumed body didn't win. He will never be president. Say it again. He will never be president. Worse than this, you will soon be shown the reality of your mistake, and it will be upon you to process what is about to occur. Love it, because it's basically saying that everyone who voted for the exhumed body is completely deceived. Thinking, what's a kindly old gentleman? What a nice guy. Oh, he's going to be nice. The DJT is so mean that the exhumed body is so nice. And we want to elect a grandfatherly type. Oh, and look at little Joe. This is such a deception, so wrong. There are so many evil forces behind this man. If he was elected, they would get rid of him in the first few months using the 25th Amendment, unable to serve, and then the evil powers will take over, starting with the VP, who will never be VP. In my humble opinion, thank God. So, like, the people who voted for the exhumed body, you're going to be protected by people who are not tricked, and you're going to have the goodness and the happiness that you want forced upon you when your candidate is thrust aside, and the man who is actually going to do good for you, even though you hate him, will be put into office again. It'll be for your sake. In other words, you become your own worst enemy, but we're going to save you from it because we're patriots and you're idiots. Sorry, did I say that? My mistake. Now, one more, and then we're going to get to the topic du jour. Maybe. I don't even know if I will. This is from James Woods. And just like that, the rioting and looting has ceased overnight. Did you notice that? After the fake election of the exhumed body, the rioting and the looting, the cities being ravaged, businesses being attacked, people even being killed by the left. It's all from the left. Has ceased overnight. What do you know? They got their way. Ooh, it's almost like they were telling us, you better elect the guy we want or we're going to punch you in the nose. That's the way of the left. And now, the half of the country that pummeled America like a battered wife is telling her to put on sunglasses, hide her black eye, be a good girl, and come together as one. Yes, that's what they're telling us. That we beat you into submission. We slapped you around. You have a black eye, missing teeth, whatever. Just put on sunglasses. Now that the exhumed body, who represents peace and love and joy, now that he is one. And by the way, the exhumed body never disowned the violence, never said stop the violence, never disassociated himself from the violence. That's because they want the violence, because they're a party of takeover. They're a party of violent overthrow, lying, cheating, and stealing, as I told you. So, and now, the half of the country that pummeled America, that is the left, like a battered wife, is telling her to put on sunglasses, hide her black eye, be a good girl, and come together as one. That's what they're saying now. Come together as one. Her answer? Go fuck yourself. I love that. Her answer, the wife's answer, just put on sunglasses, pretend like everything's fine. We're going to come together. Go fuck yourself. So, the people who pummeled America, unleashed violence upon her streets, that are now saying, we must now come together in peace as a nation, accept the results of the, quote, election, unquote, and let's all live together in peace and harmony. Our answer, go fuck yourself. All right, you're back with me. Those who couldn't handle the political comments went on longer than I thought. My apologies to you. I must look kind of cool while I was saying it, though, if you had the volume turned down. Now, I want you to notice something spectacular. I'll start this topic right now, and I'll continue it tomorrow. Is that in the first century, Israel started strong, and she went down. She got less and less, like, bad things started happening. Israel waned, and then the body of Christ came on the scene in Acts chapter 9, the call of Paul, and then suddenly the body of Christ, their fortunes grew and grew, and the fortunes of Israel waned and waned. Do you remember John the Baptist? When Jesus came to be baptized at the Jordan River, John the Baptist said, what the heck did John the Baptist say? Oh, yeah. Some of his disciples came to him later and said, ah, man, this Jesus seems to be this guy you just baptized. He seems to be, like, we're hearing rumors that he's the Messiah. I know John said something really great. Well, you know, and they were worried about John's reputation. It was like, John, you're not going to get as many, you know, talk show slots. You're not going to be as popular. I mean, your stock's kind of going down, John. John said, well, I must decrease, he must increase. Great, I love that. I must decrease. It's time for me to decrease, him to increase. In the beginning of Acts, after our Lord's resurrection, Israel was high on the hog. Peter gives his epic speech at Pentecost, and what, 5,000 people come to faith? Peter speaks to everybody in their own language using one language? It was a miracle, you see? And so everybody's excited. Many, many people came to the faith. As I said, the religious leaders were on the run. They were scared. Talk about a coup. Oh, yeah, the followers of Jesus Christ could have staged a coup with Peter as the leader. Peter's the leader of the coup. And they could have taken over. So the Sanhedrin were nervous, and they told them, do not speak on this again. Oh, yeah, censorship in the first century. Do not speak of this man again. Oh, sounds like Twitter and YouTube. Censorship. Okay, but what happened was that the leaders rejected the testimony of the 12. This was the so-called unpardonable sin. It's not an unpardonable sin. It just won't be pardoned for the eon. That's the kingdom eon. But, of course, it will be eventually taken care of because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. My point is that as we see Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Israel's looking good. It's going to be great. But then, things start to go bad. James is killed by the sword. Stephen is stoned. Peter is exiled to Babylon. What happened to the kingdom? Well, if you want to know, Paul explains in the book of Hebrews. But in the meantime, here comes chapter 9. What happens in chapter 9? Saul is called on the road to Damascus. He becomes Paul. He has a new message for the nations. And now we see the era of the nations beginning. The era of the nations begins. And now Israel's on the ascendance, or the nations are on the ascendancy, while Israel's in decline. This is what happened in the first century. Now, if this pattern is true, which it is, I mean, it's recorded in the book of Acts, then my suspicion, my educated guess, is that at the end of this eon, we will see a similar trend, only it will be in reverse. You heard it here first. It's going to be in reverse as this era of the nation ends. You see, when the era of the nations was beginning, Israel started strong, waned. Here comes the body of Christ on the front burner. Now, as this era of the nations ends, you would expect that the nations would be kind of like tapered off. And it is. The body of Christ has been tapered off, getting ready for the ascendancy of Israel. We see Israel coming again to the foreground. How many members are there in the body of Christ? I've told you, very, very few. I'd be surprised if there were 5,000. More likely, if you ask me, living members of the body of Christ, 500. That's because we're living the pattern, the first century pattern. We're living it today, only it's in reverse. Watch and learn. More on this tomorrow.